I run a little coffee shop in Chester Road with my wife. And today I'm going to share with you guys this important topic, which says Jesus Christ is our Savior. And before we go ahead, I would like to make a prayer before we start, yeah? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for your blessings. Father, I pray that you open our hearts and you give us your statutes, your laws, Lord, in our hearts, and help us to take into action, Lord. Help us that we will not only be doers of the hearers of the word, but become doers of the word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First, I'd like to share a passage which it says this. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14. Now I'm going to give you my testimony. As I mentioned earlier, I am from Ecuador. Was born there. I lived there until the age of 23. From young age, my parents took me to church. We are brothers and sisters of a family of six, three brothers, three sisters. And every Sunday we will go to church without missing. The church was a big congregation where all families, neighbors, friends, we will go every Sunday. And from young age, I knew what the introduction to us was. We have the Virgin Mary. Can I show you a picture? That was a stamp. In most of the places in Ecuador, in different provinces, we will have something like that. Different ones. They call the Virgin Mary, but the location changes. And as you can see there, Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus on her hands. That's what I knew. How was our Lord Jesus? And here, we pray to that. As I said, twice a year, this Virgin Mary is from Colombia, south of Colombia. And my parents, they were very devoted to go to that place. Every year, at least twice, we will go to visit that church. And we pray, and we buy these little stamps, and everyone had their stamp. And we pray to that. We also know another part that it says, Jesus Christ. Let me show you that one. Yeah. This is another stamp that you will find in many churches in Ecuador. Every church has their own. And this image in particular, we will go to a small town with my parents where they came from young age. And that, the celebration was every August. Many people, maybe 1,000 people or more, they would go every August to worship. And I remember my dad, he used to take us when we were little and say, make sure to at least touch it, because they do the procession. So we will run and try to, you know, we're little one until manage to touch. Yes, I was blessed now. I got it. That's what we were taught. And that's what we learned from young age. And unfortunately, until now, some are still in the same belief. My parents, some of my brothers, they have turned to the Lord, some not yet. I continue to pray that the same as Jesus Christ has mercy on me will have with them and with the rest of the nation. When we pray to that, as I said, you know, we pray, but nothing happened. I think in 1981, the Pope came to visit Ecuador. It was a big thing. At that time, I was still a child. On TV and every program. And I remember the Pope landing in Quito. And we were so fascinated. I don't know where I learned, but they used to tell us that Pope is a very holy person. And he will speak with God. Wow. My amazement of myself was, wow, he has speak with God. How I would like to go and see him, but how you couldn't go and see him? Because he was with all police and army will come and protect him. In fact, he had this massive bulletproof protection. My brother at that time was in the army. He was a parachutist, and the special force was around him. And he managed to see him. When he came home, he told us, "Yes, I saw the Pope, really." We were amazed. That is the Catholicism. We didn't know who was Jesus. And it's sad. When I was a child, sometimes my parents went, to another city because they had some businesses. Sometimes I feel sad and cry. Now I understand why I was sad. Something very big was missing in my heart. It was really, whatever I wanted to go through, it wouldn't happen. Why it happened to me this or that way? I do in my prayers. We go to church. Where is the Jesus that they talk about? Where is the Virgin Mary? Why she doesn't introduce and tell the little child to help me in this situation or in another situation? It was sad not to have the real thing in your heart. I thought at a certain point, I think fulfillment will come when I make some money or career. So, you know what? I'm going to go far away land from here. So, I decided to come to England. It's more than 5,000 miles away from Ecuador. It's far away. So I came here. My brother-in-law was here and he helped me to settle down here. I thought I got a new thing. I thought the problems will finish. Some problems left, but others rise here. Different ones. The culture, the language, the paperwork, and also sort of things. The shock of the culture. It was big. Again, with my little stamp putting, going on my knees and praying. But nothing fulfilling, It was hard. I used to work washing dishes in Bonne Street. And as I come out in the break time, Oxford Street, thousands of people. Wow. But you feel lonely. You feel like you are in a desert on your own. Nobody look at you. You don't know anyone there. It is sad. I decided to go to the university here to study. I thought maybe that path will fulfill my heart. And I will achieve something in life. I had the opportunity to do an access course for the university in Westminster College. While I was there, I met a Pakistani guy. He was a Muslim. And in the break times, he began to share his faith with me. He quite fascinated me, especially the story of Joseph. In the Quran, there is only a little part of the full story as we read in the Bible. But really fascinated me and I related to that story. Because Joseph went from his own place to a different place. He went to different culture, language. Oh, that looks like a bit of me. And when I read that story, I used to really cry sometimes. I began to think, this is what I was looking for. I saw in the Muslim community this friendship. I began to meet more friends. And I asked him, so how do I become Muslim? And he said, well, it's simple. You need to make a declaration. We go to a mosque. You make the declaration. That's it. And then you follow what the Quran says and so on. One day, I said, okay, I would like to do that. So I went to Regent's Park Mosque with my friend from Pakistan. So I said, I would like to follow that path. They make a prayer and And I said, yes, you are Muslim now.
Oh, great.
The Muslim community in the university, great. From different countries, fantastic. Began to do the prayers. And as I go farther and farther, then began to understand more. That God gave me the Quran. I read 7 times because I really wanted to know God. Now this is the God who they said, I want to know him. I began to read the Quran. I began to read the hadiths. I go to the library in the Regent's Park Mosque. I ask people. But then another problems began. Some, you cannot ask this. Oh. You have to do it that way. You have to pray in certain way. They gave me a little compass where you put that and you have to pray in that wherever you are. You have to pray 5 times a day. Look at the time. And for example, for me to work, I had to work in any job that I have here. I used to work in a bar. But they said, you as a Muslim cannot touch alcohol. But how do I survive then? Because I can't find another way, other job. Other problems began. In the times of the celebrations, you know, they do the fasting. They do the fasting and then at the end, they celebrate. But they go on their families. I don't have family, Muslim family, so where do I celebrate now? Began other problems there. You need to pray in Arabic. I already, English was hard enough for me. Can you imagine? Now Arabic, in those scriptures, it was difficult. And again, that, as I went farther and farther, began that loneliness again in my heart. Yes, I began to have friends around me, but inside still empty. I did a prayer, but no answer. I got this place rejected. I go here, the same thing. What is this now? I feel like I was in a prison. And from one prison, Muslim, the Catholic one, I enter into another prison. It was hard. Difficult. What do I do now? I remember that became a decline because the Muslim from this place says one thing, the Turkish from another thing. They were never in the same pace. They had a little bit what they knew, and then they increment according to their culture in each one of them. So to where do I go? Once they asked me, what are you, Sunni or I am Muslim? I didn't know even what I was. It was complicated and it was hard. While in the university, a friend of mine got married in Turkey. He is Turkish. And he kindly invited me and other couple of friends. So we went to Turkey. And it was great, a great experience for me. We visit places and it was nice. That was the end of a Muslim path after 5 years of following thoroughly. A proper Muslim. I said to people, I am Muslim, I read the Quran and all the things I used to do. When I went there, the wedding was in a big mosque, beautiful, maybe 1,000 people, the whole town came, and my friend was in the center of the stage. When the ceremony finished, we went together with my friends to congratulate him. But I was puzzled. I come close to him and I said, excuse me, where is your mom and sisters or female? Must be somewhere, no? Oh, yes, of course. They are over there. They were up there and there were little holes where every woman was looking through there. That broke my heart. And I said, that's it. This is not for me. As a Catholic, I was brought up with my mom, my brothers and sisters, cousins and all together. Together in love and kindness. As a family. I said, this is not for me. If one day I'm going to marry a Muslim woman, I don't want the mother of my children to be behind me or there. He has to be with me. That is not right. As I said, that was 2006. It was a completely decline, and around September, I think it was, when I had met my wife, who is now, you know, we've been married for since 2008. But I met her, and she said, look, and she is from Turkey. And when I met, and she said, I don't want to know anything about Muslim religion. Oh, that's, I think we are in a good place now. And she said, look, someone invited me a church. Would you like to come? Yes, I said, I would like to come. I want to find what is this all about. Let's go. Catholic, Muslim now. Didn't come any good. So we came to New Life. And at that time, there was a preacher who was giving his testimony, as I am giving you now. This testimony was that this man had stomach cancer. He was from New Zealand. And by the grace of God and the power of our Savior Jesus Christ, he was healed. That really came to something inside of my, that is the God I want to know, I said. He said, he is real. And then he said, at the end of the service, I'm gonna pray, and please come, because today is the acceptable day. Come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sitting, it was, I remember, Leon, my stepson, Nuket, my wife now, and myself. And it was a road of like that. But the guy came around, and when he came, I was sitting, what shall I do? I feel uncomfortable. Shall I cross? I feel embarrassed. And then Leon stood, and then Nuket stood, and then I said, I don't want to be by myself. I jump as well. It didn't happen anything, you know, like kind of big thing, but yes, at that moment, we receive our Lord Jesus without knowing what exactly is going to happen. But then as the time progressed, I was looking back in my life and everything, like the puzzle began to put in place. Why it had happened, everything what happened. It really came to life, what God says. Now I understood why I came from faraway land. He saved me from there. That is why. And we read in the Bible the story of the woman in Samaria. When he heard Jesus Christ, and he says, you must be a prophet, because he has said everything I ever done. She fell in the heart. That's that day I fell myself. And she ran to the town and told them, they come and see. Come and see the man. And we have a scripture there, Peter. He says, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the savior of the world. John 4:42. As the time progressed, I began to understand. And now I can testify. It's not only what the man said on that day, testified that Jesus saved him, not only from his illnesses, but from condemnation. And today I can testify that Jesus is Lord and Savior. He saved me from two prisons, from the Catholic prison, from the Muslim prison. I am free now. And I invite you all to feel that way. I have a little coffee shop, as I mentioned, and I can't wait. And I pray to God, give me opportunities, Lord, to share those who come and tell them what I know now. Please give me the word to say to them. And God gives. In many occasions, I have seen miracles in the coffee shop. Glory to God Almighty. And today, I want to share a fresh miracle. Like, you know, when you take bread from the oven, it comes with that beautiful aroma and a smell. On Friday, our friend Shadi, she received her miracle, 4 years of a painful divorce. By the grace of God, she has moved to her new home. Glory to God. He is a just God. He is a just God. I can testify, we have seen now. Like the people in Samaria said, now I can testify. I've seen it. I've been in her new home. The consistent prayers. She goes through very painful and difficult things. But God put his brothers and sisters to all come together in prayer from every nation. In here there is no restriction of color, of background, of anything. For God, we are all equal. His love endures forever. He is the Savior of the world. In an amazing way, we can testify. And I believe each one of us, we can testify in each one our lives. What he is doing every single day is a beautiful thing. As I said, you know, Shadi went through so much. 20 years of very hard and difficult marriage. By the grace of God, she is alive to testify His glory. His glory. And she is among us. We have seen a miracle among us. Many of us have prayed for her. And God has made justice. Sometimes when I talk in my coffee shop with some people who have retired, have achieved, rich people, sometimes they come. And I have shared with them. And they said, I am a good person. I don't need a savior. We all need the savior. We all need the savior. And we can make a self-assessment among us. Now, God gave us the Ten Commandments. We can testify ourselves. We can say, let's say, have I ever lied? Yes. Have I ever taken something that it didn't belong to me, even if it's small? Yes. Have I misbehaved with my parents? Yes. And the Bible says that if we fail one of those commandments, we fail. So you and I fail. If we are based on the Ten Commandments, unfortunately, we cannot go to heaven. Therefore, we need our Savior. He is the one. As we make our assessment in our own hearts, we have the scripture here, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Hence, we need our Savior. But He is a true Savior. He loves us immensely. I would encourage you, a certain point of the day, maybe today or any time, please sit down and meditate. How much God loves you. You will feel in your heart. It is not in your head, in your heart. You feel a warm thing in you. And that happiness, as I said, from the two places where I was, I did not feel that. I felt empty, sad. I was dead. But Jesus gave me life, and life in abundance. Let's all praise the Lord. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the lion who fight our fights. He is the lamb who died for us. Let's trust in Him in everything. I'm going to show you a picture. This one. I like this picture. My brother was a soldier and he jumping many occasions from the plane, 10,000 feet. And he used to tell us, you know, how frightening it can be and how amazing it is when you take the parachute and land it. This man, as you can see, is smiling. But he is smiling because he has put 100% trust in his parachute is going to open. If he says 50-50, he wouldn't be like that. There is no chance. When you jump at 10,000 feet, you have to trust that that is going to open. I want to encourage you to put your trust in our Savior Jesus Christ at 100%. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Shadi didn't have days, even money to buy something to eat. One day she said she went out and she said, I don't have money. Nothing. But yet God provided, she found money on the floor. Another time, she will share later on, but I want to share since it came to mind now. She didn't have anything. She goes to Tesco and there is another lady who just was the mom of one of the kids in the school. She make a shopping of chicken, bread, milk, and all sort of things. And she found Shadi. Shadi, please, look, I had an emergency right now to go abroad. I just made the shopping. I don't even know why I do the shopping. I can't even go back home. Please, could you take this? When I come back, you pay me the money. That is our God. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And she can testify what God really is, our Savior. We can put the trust in Him. I don't believe that, you know, someone says you come to Christianity and all is good. No. You will have more problems because the devil will attack you more. But let's put all the trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the strength. He gives us the wisdom. Where to go? When to stop? Right or left? Here is the instructions. Spend more time in here and you will know more. If you close, then you don't know because you will be closed eyes. And the word says, the Lord is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. The moment you close, you don't know where you're going. Therefore, let's put the trust in Jesus Christ. He is the one. There is another scripture I have in Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Salvation is in Him and Him alone. Don't trust in your money. Don't trust in your careers. Don't trust in children. Don't trust in no one. Your wife, your husband, in Jesus Christ. Because overnight, if you are rich, gone. Overnight, you can have health problems. Nowadays, cancer is going through in every nation, in every place. A big thing. My brother-in-law used to work as a driver in this ambulance driver. And he used to say that some people call them, go to get fetch someone from certain house, rich, mansion house. They just go to hospital because they feel unwell, came out, cancer. A week later, gone. Some they last longer. All the money in the world was not enough. What is for a man to gain the whole world if he loses your soul? The word says, Jesus is our salvation. Whatever happens is because it's His will. And one day, can you imagine to meet our Lord? How wonderful, how great, how excited. He's really excited, you know, when you go on holidays, the holidays come and gone. But when you think about meeting our Lord and Savior, how amazing. That is something like, it should encourage us. Look, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the eclipse. And here in Joel explains about the eclipse that it will happen. And science find out the sun and the moon, the sun has 400 bigger than the moon to be able to do exact eclipse. And God says, thousands of years ago, it will happen. And He says, what a coincidence. This is not coincidence. This is God made it. God who has everything suspending in nothing in the book of Job talks. And all that precision, and He is telling you, telling us, Jesus is coming. Get ready. Hold on Him. Put the trust as the man in the parachute. 100% in the Lord. He is our God. He says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He has done everything for us on the cross. And the cross is empty. Not that the one that I used to learn when I was a child. Jesus is in heaven and the Holy Spirit among us. It's great to see. Can you imagine how happy He feels when He sees from heaven that we are all among together in brotherhood, in love and kindness? That's what He wants. As parents, now I am a father. It's great to see the kids nicely. But when we are quarreling, it gives a pain in your heart. Let's bring joy and delight to His heart in heaven. Let's all be ready and excited when He comes back. He's coming back very soon. He has demonstrated His love for us, all the things around us. Let's rejoice every day we wake up. Sometimes we talk about weather here. And it says, dark, rainy, horrible day. I said to my customers, please don't say horrible day. It's a beautiful day, but it's raining. Yes, but look, if you think the rain, you know, the rain when it drops. Can you imagine if it was like a bucket? It will be like. But He is so gentle that He gives that beautiful drops. Yes. In Ecuador, in the Amazon, the way it rains is heavy. It's really, really because of the terrain. But here, never rains that way. It rains in a gentle way. You see how God made everything beautiful for us. He makes us unique. Can you imagine the eye is unique? The fingerprint is unique. Our voice is unique. How much He makes us beautiful. Everything beautiful on His time, the word says. Now I would like to encourage you with some few things. Maybe even if you are long in the Christian path, you just beginning. But I would like to encourage you. Start with little and do more. I said to my kids, you know, they go to school. I said, don't just show yourself at the school. Read, study, learn. So when you go to the exam, you can pray to your true God in your heart and say, please remind me what I have learned. Don't be like when I was before. Playing and doing something else. Go to the exam trying to pray the time. Fail. some faith. It's nothing there. So I encourage you to read the word, to pray, to our true God. I am testifying you that He is real. He is in each one of our hearts. Don't feel lonely anymore. Always you will have your friend, your brother, sister. You know, you have a WhatsApp, just a little message or call, anything that would encourage you. Shadi sometimes couldn't pray because of the difficulties, the problems that surrounded her so much, like crushing her. But we all, please pray. We have carried her. And the Lord has helped her. How we can start it? Worshiping Him. Dedicating your time in prayer, a little prayer in the morning. I would encourage you, morning is the best time, I believe. Because you are fresh. And you are ready, as we have breakfast in the morning, you are ready for facing the day ahead. Reading the Bible. As I said, started with little. As you progress, if you can wake up, pray, Lord, I would like to spend time, little time with you. Help me and wake me up, or find a way. And He will. Because He has done to me, I know. Obedience. Obedience says is better than sacrifice. How we can begin obedience? Reading the gospel, Jesus Christ has set an example for us. For each one, every situation. I often heard they said, what would Jesus do in this situation? I would rather say, what did Jesus did? Because He did everything for us. And He will guide you. Be a witness. Today I am a witness to tell you what God has done in my life. Thanksgiving. You know, when we give to our children something, little ones, we expect a little thanks. And when they say, oh, thank you, you feel good. Express gratitude for what Jesus has done in your life. Let's express with gratitude and thanksgiving to Him for His love and mercy. In holiness, pursue holiness. If you are weak in something, in the book of James says, if you are lacking of something, ask. And He will never say no. He has plenty. In fellowship, among brothers and sisters, friends, you will build relationship and make it stronger. And finally, it says surrender. Surrender your life to Jesus, allowing Him to guide you in everything. Trust Him. I have trusted Him. In my coffee shop, sometimes 1 hour, 2 hours, no customer. No, what shall I do now? In my heart come peace. He will provide. He does. Maybe this week I had my little one, he got this infection, I don't know, some, they call this rash. For the whole week, rash, taking to doctors, praying. But by God's grace, he's better now. Trusting in Him, we will go through difficulties. The Lord says, in this world you will go through difficulties, troubles, tribulations, but trust in the Lord. I overcome them all, He says. So now I just like to say, you know, again, I have the last, Peter. No, the next one. Yeah. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Trust in Him. He will not disappoint you. He will never disappoint you in anything. I would like to pray that God gives us guidance, directions as the week ahead, as we leave this place. Let's pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your kindness you have for each one of us. Glory and honor to you in the highest, O Lord Jesus. We love you, we glorify you. Father in heaven, I pray that you forgive us. Have mercy on us, Lord. We are sinners. Have mercy, Lord. I pray as we go in our ways this week ahead, you go before us, protect us and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.